Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
So let's bring in the big guy himself, Josh Charles, somewhere in an undisclosed location. How are you?
Jerry, good to talk to you, man. How are you? I'm driving back from work right now. I'm in Brooklyn on my way back home into the city. How's my chair?
I was just going to say, for the record, I am sitting in your / my chair of enjoyment, which is kindly yours whenever you're in studio.
I got to say, the guys told me it was your chair and that you probably wouldn't mind I sat in it, but it was a really nice chair. They said you're a little possessive about it. And I was like, okay, I appreciate it. And I'm nice to sit in it. Very warm, very comfortable.
It was an honor to have you to put your tookus in that chair, so I appreciate that.
The tookus. How are you, my man? You good?
I'm doing good. Did you see that Sam Cook retired today? I haven't been to many punter retirement press conferences, but the Ravens saying goodbye to their longest tenured player.
Yeah, I saw last night, I think when we were texting, that there was going to be a press conference, you know, today.
Mm-hmm.
So they were saying, you know, I guess people were speculating somebody's retiring. It didn't even cross my mind. And I watched the whole thing. I heard you ask the question afterwards. I heard your voice in there somewhere.
My smart ass question about not going as long as Ray Lewis at his Hall of Fame speech.
That's pretty good. I got to say, I got home for a little bit before I had to go back to work, and I was watching it, and I was crying the whole time. I didn't even know. I couldn't even figure out why I was getting so emotional. I know Sam a little bit. I think he's a great guy. Obviously, he's one of the best punters in the history of the NFL. He's fantastic, but he's such a good dude. But I think I was just, I don't know. I think I was emotional because I realized, like, how long I've been watching this guy play. What a rock he's been for the organization. And the fact that Morgan's gone and now it's just Jay Tuck creating a new version of the Wolfpack. I felt very sad. I mean, what those guys did and hearing him talk about it, things that even like just a layman fan like me didn't realize all of the sort of innovations that they were doing. You know, I knew some of them, but I didn't realize to the extent that these guys are really breaking new ground and what a sense of pride they have, rightfully so, in that. And I was just blown away by it. Yeah, it was a long speech, but I didn't care. I loved it.
It was very
humble
sentimental.
Guy and see, like, that guy doesn't show a lot of emotion. I this doesn't strike me as a guy does, just to be that. Understandably, it's a big day. It's the end of a chapter in his life. But, man, I was so moved by it. I just sat there. I was crying the whole time.
Well, you weren't alone. It was very emotional being in the room. His whole family was there. His parents were there. A lot of ex-teammates showed up. It was an impressive showing. Very.
Yeah. Well, he's like, God, what a story, you know, and getting him out of there, and how from that in Nebraska, how long he's been on the Ravens. Just one of those guys. I think it also just like he makes you reflect of your own time, right? You're just like, God, we all do move on at some point, right?
Yeah, I mean, he goes back to Billick. I didn't realize that and remember that until he mentioned it. But yeah, he outdates Coach Harbaugh.
I know, it was amazing. 2006, crazy.
Well, I saw you at the NFL draft. We had Charles Davis on from CBS last week. He said he loves seeing you. What was that experience like in announcing Travis Jones' name? Maybe he has a Hall of Fame career. I know you told Locke and Four and Wyman you want to give him the card. Have you been able to accomplish that just yet? I guess you're busy because you're filming.
I'm filming right now. I'm filming a movie, and I just finished actually today. I'm starting another one next week. But when I am going to come down, hopefully for some point during, you know, training camp, or before then. What's the camp that comes first? What's this next one?
The mini camp.
The mini camp. Try to come in for a mini camp, and hopefully then if he's there, I can give it to
him. Oh, he'll be there.
Or just send it to the Ravens. I mean, I have it, and I have it, like, in a book protected, you know, so it doesn't get messed up. Because, I don't know, if that was me, I would want it, you know?
Of course.
He should have it if he wants it. It's a nice little token of a great day in his life. No, that experience was great. I mean, I was saying to Jason and Ken, I mean, yeah, I'm a huge football fan, but drafts for a fan, I don't find them that exciting. I mean, this one had some elements of excitement because of the fourth round. I mean, first of all, what we were going to do in the first round, and then the trade with Marquis, and then, you know, getting the 23rd pick for that, and then trading down two and picking up the big center. And then the fourth round with six picks. I mean, there was some really wild stuff. But as a whole, it was my wife and I was using it as an excuse to get out of town for a little bit, get away from the kids, and it was a great time. Got to see Rich and Peter Schrager and some buddies, and we got to friends just moved there, and so we had dinner with them one night. It was a nice couple of days. Weather was beautiful.
Looked like a great event. It really did. I'm sure they'll be back in Vegas very soon.
They're going to have the Super Bowl there. I mean, one thing you realize about Vegas is, like, Vegas and the NFL are, like, made for each other. You know what I mean? It's like just that they can close off streets at will, right? That everything's sort of so centralized, and it's all right there in the Strip. And you know, I think the Super Bowl is going to be insane there. I'm sure it'll become a staple of you know, it'll get very quickly into the rotation of one of the places they do the Super Bowl, no doubt.
I wouldn't be upset if they hold it every other year in Las Vegas and then New Orleans. That would upset a lot of other cities, but those two are built for Super Bowl events.
I agree. New Orleans. I mean, we as Ravens fans have great memories of New Orleans, but that is a great place. I think in Los Angeles, the problem with Los Angeles is just where the stadium is a pain in the butt in terms of traffic and getting there. The actual stadium itself in the city of Los Angeles is a great fit. That new stadium is amazing. So, but I agree. I mean, I think so. It's Arizona this year.
Yep. And
did I lose you? Oh, I got you. Okay.
For a second, you did. But, yeah, they're in Arizona this year, and obviously teams – or cities are bidding not only on the draft, but Super Bowls these days. As we are speaking with Josh Charles, making his way through the Big Apple and some of the suburbs. And speaking of cities, how about Baltimore? And We Own This City on HBO. I'm now three episodes in. Yeah, I'm behind. But I don't know whether to binge watch, because I'm one of these people that forget the plot lines week to week. And maybe if I watch it all at once, it makes for a better watch. It's a private dilemma for me, but I have begun watching. I know you're playing the role of Daniel Herschel, and I'll tell you this, I didn't notice you until about, I don't know, 25 minutes into the first episode that I was watching, that I realized it was you, because not only of the weight that you had to add, but the deep Baltimore accent, it took me a while for it all to sink in. And I'm like, yeah. You moron, you knew he was on the show. You couldn't identify him?
No, but yeah, other people have said that to me too, you know? Yeah, I mean, put on some weight and then the shaved head, and, you know, you're wearing the vest always and that cop vest. So it's easy to kind of melt into that. You know, it's an interesting conversation about the sort of binge aspect that we've all gotten accustomed to, myself included, with the advent of streaming, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so everybody's used to that, and it's interesting that you say, like, it's hard attention span-wise to remember week to week. Personally, I kind of like that you have to wait. I mean, it's sort of like a kid, you know? Like, you kind of look. You can have the immediate satisfaction and gratification, get that one cookie, right? Or you can wait a week, and then you can have few more cookies, right? And so to me, I think there's something about, you know, taking a little time in between to sort of reflect, to think about it and get back in. But I hear your point. I mean, especially a show like this that's jumping around a lot in terms of years, and it's not a very just straight linear story, right? So it's kind of moving around in times, and it's definitely, it requires some focus of the audience. And I actually like that, you know, but it's a story, and that's the way they want to tell it. And you got to buckle your chin strap and pay attention.
Well, I'm going to presume the accent wasn't as hard as putting on the weight. How did you accomplish putting on the weight?
I was lifting a little bit while before it, and then I just ate well,
I don't know.
I wasn't really trying to put on like that much weight. I just wanted to kind of get, you know, lifting a little bit and then just eating and not really worrying about it, and probably a few too many cocktails along the way in that nice Baltimore summer. Maybe too many snowballs, you know, all the things that I, instead of one, maybe I'd have three, put some marshmallow on it. And the Baltimore accent, it's funny, man, because, as all of us, you live there, it's like it's in my blood. I know it. I grew up, family members have it, friends and everybody. But I felt because Herschel's actually from the city, you know, he's the one member of the task force that's actually from, he's from Highland Town. Mm-hmm. And nobody else, Jenkins from outside the city and the other guys aren't from Baltimore. So it felt like that was something that I had a lot of responsibility. Like I felt a tremendous amount of responsibility because even though I know the accent well, I just didn't want to F it up, So I didn't want you or Jason or Ken or more importantly, members of my family giving me shit, and people in Baltimore. I wanted to make sure like I came correct. So I did work. I work with a woman, really big dialect coach, and I emailed her and I said, look, I know this. I got this guy's voice. I've been listening to a lot of his body camera footage, and I know the voice. Like, and I know who this guy. I know how he sounds, but I'm just nervous because I told her everything I just said. I said, would you mind just working with me an hour and just like I'll run a couple scenes by you, and you could just give me some, tell me where I'm at, like what I need to do, and as just a sort of objective. And I did it, and she was like, you're good. She's like, after an hour, she was like, you're right where I want people to be. You just got to relax with it and just let it roll. And so that was the key for me, was just wanting to make it, authentic, but not too big that it's a distraction, that it's just actually like the way the guy talks, it's real, but that, it's not something that's not the only thing you're thinking about.
Oh, it's very real. I want to ask you in conclusion here, what's the feedback been? Because it's a very accurate portrayal, unfortunately, of the city, not exactly a positive one, but the truth has to be told.
That's kind of how I feel. I mean, it's like, it's for me, I knew the story very well because I followed Justin Fenton's reporting. And so while it was happening and I was reading his stories off Twitter and, clicking on the Sun and reading them and just saying, this is a movie. This is a TV show. So, of course, it fell into the right people's hands, David and George, and they know this world well. And it is a painful part of Baltimore history. As we know, there's a lot of beautiful things about Baltimore. This is not one of them, but it's an important story to tell. And I thought it was very cinematic. And I was excited to get back and work in my hometown, but also tell a story that I think is very, very relevant. And, and I was really just excited to get in there and mix it up. The response has been fantastic. It's been, exceeded my expectations. I knew, obviously, everyone sort of looks to The Wire as, one of the greatest TV shows of all time. It has such a cult following. People were, so you knew you had that built-in audience. And I think, David Simon had said in some together that this is like a coda to that, that when they finished writing The Wire, that, these characters weren't cops yet. This is the next generation. This is what happens when all these activities that you're doing as a department over time, this is the result of it. This is what you get. And so I thought that was a really, just fascinating way to look at it. And it was, and I think the response has been fantastic. For me, it's been great. And the show has really been well received, and it's nice. For me, it's great because, I've been acting since I'm 15, man, And when you're acting since you're 15, it's kind of a, I was telling this Bernthal, I was texting with him the other day about it, and I was saying, it's a weird thing. When you start that young in the business, it's a blessing and a curse, right?
Yep.
Because, you get the success, you do it, but then in this industry, people are always trying to peg you. You do this, you do that. And so whatever it is you're doing at this moment is what they want you to do. Well, you played this character, and this character's gay. Okay, well, you play gay characters. Now you're playing a lawyer. Okay, now you're a lawyer, right? And now you're romantic, and now you're doing comedy, and now you're playing a bad guy. They're always trying to, wherever your character is that you're playing, right? People, they have short attention spans. That's what they remember. So you're always looking for ways to stretch yourself, to just show your range as an actor. And I've been able to do that throughout my career at certain moments here and there. And a lot of times in the theater, maybe not as many people see it. But it's nice to get a role like this to just throw people a little bit of a curveball, you know, just to sort of wipe out, you know, their memory of maybe what they think you are or what you do, and just try to just live into a different world. That it's a world that I'm familiar with. You know, I'm comfortable in Baltimore, very comfortable. And so it felt like a real natural fit. And I'm excited that, you know, people are responding to it so well. As an actor, I feel a lot of pride about it. And a lot of my actor friends are really responding well to it. So I'm happy.
Well, you definitely have range. It's like Ray Lewis back in the day, going from sideline to sideline. So, and hold your head high in the Big Apple today, because the Orioles did defeat the Yankees finally.
I saw that, 9-6. Yeah. Good, finally.
Walk-off victory. So a nice way to end that series. I really appreciate your time after a really long day, and look forward to seeing you again in person one of these days.
I will. I'll see you, bud. Hold down the fort there. Tell those guys I said hey, and thanks for having me on, all right, Jeff?
I will. Next time we'll talk golf for about 20 minutes, okay?
Sounds good.
All right, good to catch up with you. Josh
you,
Charles
too,
joining
bye.
Us here on right, Sports later. With Coleman. There he goes, right in the back of the limo, I believe, or the sedan. What a life.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.